This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. A lot of great things happening at MTSU, and we're going to be talking about several of those things today. Starting with us, media specialist Jenna Logue is with us, along with journalism professor Dr. Larry Burris, with an expertise in the area of First Amendment issues. We're going to be talking, among other things, about the Holocaust Conference coming up at MTSU. Jenna, Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
Good to have both of you with us today.
Good to be here.
How many years has the Holocaust Conference been at MTSU?
I believe this is the ninth biennial conference, if memory serves, and as the name biennial implies, it's held once every 2 years. And scholars from all over the country and all over the world who specialize in studying that dreadful period of history in which the Third Reich attempted to exterminate millions of Jews and people from other groups, they come together and explore different aspects, different historical aspects, sociological aspects of the experience that previously had not been delved into. And this year's theme is Global Perspectives on the Holocaust, which is borne out by the number of countries that are going to be represented at this year's event, which is from the 19th to the 22nd on the campus. We have scholars coming from Russia, India, Austria, New Zealand, Australia, Nigeria, Israel, Germany, the United Kingdom, Ukraine, Romania, Canada, Poland, and France, as well as the United States.
How did this begin in Middle Tennessee? I mean, this is sort of an unusual place for the Holocaust Conference to be, and it's, as you say, 18 years now.
I think, I'm not sure that it started with Dr. Nancy Ruprecht in the History Department, but she certainly has been the heart and soul of it for the last 10 years that I've been working at MTSU. Nancy lives to bring stories of the Holocaust to life and to make them understandable to subsequent generations of people so that this tragic episode in history will never be forgotten and the lessons will not be lost on people who were not alive at the time.
You've had quite a few of the Holocaust survivors here over the years to share their firsthand experiences.
We will have Holocaust survivors again at this year's conference to share their experiences, as we have had in past years. Many of them bear not only the psychological scars, but also the tattoos that were placed on them by the Nazis that were etched into their skin. And the stories they tell still send chills up and down the spines of people who were actually alive during the Second World War and are quite stunning and overwhelming to today's college students who have never experienced anything quite like that or, you know, had anything like that happen in their generation.
This is rapidly becoming a fading part of our history, I would think, because the survivors of the Holocaust would be in their later years, I would think, right now.
Right. The survivors are reaching the end of their journey on the earthly plane, as are the soldiers of the Allied armed forces who helped to liberate the camps, and all the more reason to get their stories on the record for all to know.
Now, Larry, your expertise area is in the First Amendment issues.
Right.
How does that fit in with the Holocaust Conference? Because I know that there are some Of course, that's everyone's right to share their own opinions and everything.
You're kind of hinting around that
there's some strange opinions out there.
There's some strange opinions out there. There's a whole group of people called Holocaust deniers. And like you say, they certainly have the right to say what they want. What we're trying to do at the conference is bring the Holocaust to life, to say, okay, here are real people. Here were people who experienced the Holocaust. Here are their children. Here are people who have studied the Holocaust, who have maybe made some casual studies, maybe just interested, as opposed to real scholars who have said, here's how the Holocaust affected this particular group of people. Jenna mentioned earlier all the various groups that were affected. Well, there's dozens of groups that were, in fact, in the Holocaust, and it's important that we understand that the wide range of what went on there.
Now, when is this conference?
It's October 19th through the 22nd. The last day is set aside on Saturday, the 22nd, for school teachers in K-12 throughout the state who will have an opportunity to learn from members of the Tennessee Holocaust Commission and others better how to engage in age-appropriate discussions of the Holocaust in the classroom and how to implement this part of history into the curriculum for K-12 students. The other days will be mostly for panel discussions and sessions of various aspects of the Holocaust and Holocaust studies, but there will be four what are called plenary speakers, and each of those sessions is open to the public, and these are four of the top-notch Holocaust scholars in the nation. One of them is Paul Bartrup of the Richard Stockton College of New Jersey. He'll be discussing Holocaust studies and genocide studies. Is there a difference, and if so, why? Comparisons are frequently made, some with quite a bit of legitimacy, between the Holocaust of the Third Reich era and situations in other parts of the world in more recent times, Rwanda, Sudan, Bosnia, just to name a few. And so that will be bandied about and discussed. Lawrence Thomas of Syracuse University will discuss The Courage to Survive Evil. A gentleman I've interviewed before, a wonderful fellow, Dr. Gerhard Weinberg, professor emeritus at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, will talk on a worldwide Holocaust project. As you mentioned, Holocaust survivors will be there to tell their stories. And Alexandra Zapruder, who is a writer and an educator, will discuss Salvaged Pages, Diaries of Teenage Girls in the Holocaust. Alexandra Zapruder, just as a side note, is the granddaughter of Abraham Zapruder, whose amateur film of the Kennedy assassination, taken on November 22, 1963, is one of the more widely discussed and debated historical documents of the 20th century.
Well, now, is this open to the public? Does if the public attends, do they need to make reservations?
No, these particular four sessions, one on Wednesday, one on, well, I'm not, I will give you a website where you can go for the complete lineup and times and dates, because it's just too intricate to get into all of them. But these four speakers that I just talked about, those sessions are indeed free and open to the public, yes. And the website for the complete conference schedule and other information, you go to www.mtsu.edu, just the usual MTSU website, then /tilde holostu, H-O-L-O-S-T-U, www.mtsu.edu/tilde, the little squiggly thing, H-O-L-O-S-T-U.
Okay. Is this all in one location, or does it?
Virtually everything will be taking place in the James Union Building. Okay. Almost everything, yes.
So you're... number of participants is, what, around 500, 400, 500, something like that?
There's about 100 participants, people presenting papers and studies, and then several hundred, like I say, about probably 400 or 500 people from the community.
Could attend.
Sure, absolutely, okay. Absolutely.
I was just sort of estimating that on the size of the James Union Building. So, and again, the dates on this?
The October the 19th through the 22nd, and with the exception of luncheons, it is free to MTSU faculty, students, and staff.
Okay, so it begins in just 2 days from now.
That's right.
So people need to be a part of that. Is there, on the low end, is there an age that is recommended It just seems like one of those events that if you have a youngster that you're wanting them to get a feeling for everything that's happened in the past. And I think we can learn so much from the past. What age group do you think on the low end would be able to get something out of this?
Probably high school. There's not a lot of discussion of what we think of Holocaust horror per se, but a 7 or 8 year old, I don't know if they'd really understand about genocide conventions, for example, the United Nations. So probably high school just from the academic content.
And especially if you have taken your family to Washington, D.C. and gone through the museum up there, the memorial dedicated to the memory of the Holocaust.
I've been through the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. It takes a good 2 hours. What they do when you go in is give you a little passport-looking thing with a picture of someone who perished in the Holocaust and tells you a little bit about their story, and you keep that with you as you go through the museum and see all the shoes that represent all of the people who died, the various pictures and interactive segments of it, what the boxcars looked like, and the trains that transported them to the camps and so forth. And it's an exhausting but extremely worthwhile experience. You'll come out of it the richer for it.
And of course, I think this has been brought even more to life with some of the movies that have come out over the past several years that deal with the Holocaust, right? Not historical movies, but dramas that have scenes happening in the Holocaust, which have been very popular in movies.
There are a lot of movies made about Nazis, and some of them are more intense than others. Some of them are deeper than others. Some of them are more historically accurate than others. I appreciate the reality of Schindler's List. I appreciate the fact that Spielberg took it one step further and created a Shoah Foundation so that his movie would have an afterlife or a life beyond the screen. And I appreciate the fact that he made it in black and white, because color would have given it a vibrancy that the subject matter just didn't deserve. I think that is probably my favorite movie about that era.
Larry, with your involvement in journalism at MTSU, and this is one of the university's major strength areas, phenomenal area for mass communications, how do the students who are majoring in mass communications relate to this? What lesson do they have? How do they fit into this total picture?
Many of our students will be covering the event both in print and electronic, and it's important, I think, that the students understand that the Holocaust, as a horrific event, occurred, but then there's the repercussions later on. There's the survivors, as we mentioned earlier, are certainly dying off, but then there are the children of the survivors, the grandchildren of the survivors, also have their stories to tell, and it's important to go just beyond the bare fact of the Holocaust, not to diminish it, but to say there are ongoing repercussions that people need to know about, and our journalism students, as part of their training, certainly need to understand the wide impact of events, that it's not just the event itself, that here in Little Murfreesboro there is a major impact from the Holocaust, although it was 60-some years ago, the effects are still being felt.
And I think that's what people, especially the newcomers to town, need to realize, what they can learn here in our community, what is available to them. And as Jenna said, it's free. And this starts in 2 days, on the 19th, at MTSU's James Union Building. What time should people get there?
Well, on the Wednesday, October the 19th, the registration starts at 10:30 a.m., and there will be a lunch prior to the very first presentations. The first session on the first day doesn't start until 12:40, and then on subsequent days, things will start at about 8 o'clock in the morning on each day.
Now, if you're there, and sometimes this happens in conferences that we've attended, if you're there and one person really stands out in your mind with some phenomenal information, are recordings of these talks available?
I don't know if they're being recorded. People who come could certainly bring recorders and tape record them. There will be information available that people can take away. There's a lot of takeaway material that would have the email addresses and phone numbers that people could call. Certainly the program, as I'm sitting here looking at it, has the names and university affiliations of all the speakers, so contact could be made that way. We've discovered that the people that are participating are more than willing to talk to other people about the events.
So that this is all beginning on this coming Wednesday at MTSU, the James Union Building. Registration starts at 10:30. The first talk is 12, did you say?
First session is at 12:40.
12:40, okay. Right after lunch.
Right.
Okay. So circle that on your calendar, and those will continue for how many days?
19th, 20th, 21st, and the 22nd is set aside strictly for the K-12 teachers, so let's say 3 days for the public and MTSU personnel.
Now, for the K-12 teachers, since there are possibly some of the educators listening in this morning, what type of information will they be given on that special day for them?
A lot of what will be happening there is how do you integrate the Holocaust into, we'll say, ordinary sorts of studies. For example, there will be a session on the diaries written by Holocaust children, and then how do you integrate that into the curriculum? How do you use that as a teaching tool? Not that you're necessarily teaching Holocaust history per se, but all of the other surrounding events. How can you work those into English classes, history classes, math classes, for example? There are ways of taking all those elements and putting them into the classroom today.
Interesting.
There will even be a session entitled Holocaust Education, So What? For teachers who might even doubt the necessity or viability of it. So it's a place to put on your critical thinking skills.
This is one of those historical events that you don't want to ever forget, because I think if you forget it, you become cold to it. And if it remains in the front pages of our history, hopefully we can at least not repeat it again. But it sounds as if it's continuing all over the world.
Yes. There are still, as Larry mentioned, Holocaust deniers even to this day. And there are people empowered in various parts of the world, excuse me, who seem to be taking their cue from Mr. Hitler and his tactics. And it would be wonderful to realize that education is the key to helping us recover our humanity.
Jenna Logue, along with Dr. Larry Burrus, in this first segment, we've been talking about the Holocaust and the special Holocaust Conference that begins Wednesday, that's right, Wednesday, just 2 days away, at MTSU. And that will be at the James Union Building. Is there a phone number in case people had a hard time with that that web address?
I would just call the main university number, and that they'd be able to transfer you over. There's so many people involved, and people running around at this point, it's hard to figure out which person actually gets. I would try the main university number.
Okay. Very good. Thank you both for joining us today and telling us about this important event coming up right here in the community, another area where MTSU brings the town and the gown together. Thanks again. Stay with us. The program will continue on the next program right after we check on the latest in traffic information and weather. We're going to be talking about the School of Nursing at MTSU. A lot going on there. Stay with us.
Even the best fall down sometimes. Even the stars refuse to shine. Out of the back you fall in time. Somehow find you and I. Don't stop here. I lost my place.
We're loud, we're proud, we're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
Need a new car?
Why not a truck? How about a Ford F-150 from Ford of Murfreesboro? Right now, Ford is offering up to $6,000 in rebates on F-150s. or 0% financing for up to 60 months for those who qualify. Head to Ford of Murfreesboro and test drive the latest Ford F-150.
$6,000 in rebates or 0% financing for up to 60 months for those who qualify.
Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield. FordofMurfreesboro.com.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning, Rutherford County. As you make your way to work this morning, guys, happy to report no accidents out there along your interstates or along your secondaries. We are seeing a little slower traffic along 840 westbound right around Sulphur Springs Road and West Jefferson Pike, but really nothing that should slow you down. You might see a few brake lights along I-24 as you pass under 840. We do have construction right there on both sides of the interstate. This traffic report is brought to you by the law office of Bart Durham. Justice is your right. Give them a call, 866-468-6603. With your WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Thank you, John. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
Sunny skies across the forecast area, a high of 82 with a north-northwest wind around 5, partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Currently 59.
This is Freda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
This is FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and TV 11. Talk radio, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Your good neighbor station.
Hey, welcome back. We are focusing on Middle Tennessee State University today. We're going to be looking at the School of Nursing now. Debbie Sullivan is with us, assistant professor at MTSU's School of Nursing. Debbie, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you here today. Is there still a nursing shortage?
Yes, there is still a nursing shortage. We have found that a lot of retired nurses have come back into the workplace. However, our students are not having any problem getting jobs. Normally, they'll have to take maybe a night shift or maybe a position that wasn't their first choice, but there's plenty of positions out there still.
You hear so much about nurse practitioners.
Yes.
And it seems like there must be a demand for those because they're running the clinics at drugstores throughout the area, I guess throughout the United States. They're running clinics all around.
Yes.
Do you teach that degree?
I don't teach that degree.
I mean,
degree.
Does MTSU
yes,
offer
MTSU
that?
Does. Mm-hmm. We have an excellent nurse practitioner program, a family nurse practitioner program, and that's a very versatile position where they can work in different segments of the population.
Now, what different areas of nursing are offered? I mean, everybody knows about RNs and LPNs and nurse practitioners. I'm not sure we hear those terms, but I don't think everybody really knows what they mean.
Okay, yeah, it's very confusing. You're right. We offer a traditional Bachelor of Science in Nursing that's there on the ground at MTSU. We also offer this the RNs that have reached an RN through an associate degree program, and we offer them an RN to BSN program that's primarily online. We also welcome LPN students to our LPN to BSN program, and that they join the traditional BSN students. I know it's getting very confusing.
I'm thinking, wow.
But basically, those students will all reach a bachelor's degree. We also offer a master's of science in nursing, which branches out into nursing education, administration, and then the nurse practitioner, as you mentioned before. We also have what's called an MSPS, which is a informatics program that we partner with the Applied Science Department and offer that. So yes, there are a lot of different, nursing is versatile, that's why it's so great. You can, when you go into nursing, you can go in so many different directions that it's a wonderful occupation.
Now, which one would be the beginning level, the LPN, the RN, what is it?
The LPN.
LPN, okay. Mm-hmm. And is that a two-year program?
It depends on where you go. It can be 8 months to a year, depending on the program.
So you would get that first, or do you have to go through
No, you can just start at the traditional program, the BSN program. We see a lot of students, though, coming from ADN programs, and those, you can get your RN license with a two-year degree. However, it's a little misleading. Even though we say it's a two-year degree, there's a lot of prerequisites that go with that before you can actually start the nursing school. So it's not a lot of work for them to go from the ADN to the BSN.
I would think that people who are going through college today are thinking to themselves, I'm doing this because I want to prepare myself to have the best opportunity for the best career. What would that be in the area of nursing?
The area of nursing, like I said, there are so many different, that's what's so great, is that it's versatile. You can go so many different directions. You can go into research, you can go into occupational nursing, you can specialize into pediatrics, OB, adult care, and you can go at different levels. You can teach nursing, which we have a huge shortage of nurse educators, and if anyone is at all interested in that, I would highly encourage that. We also, like you said, have a shortage of the nurse practitioners, and you're going to see gerontology because of all
hadn't
the
hadn't even thought about that. Yeah,
all the baby boomers coming up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a huge demand, and we're going to see all different kinds of new areas of nursing opening up in that realm.
So now this would be more than a nurse practitioner specializing in gerontology.
Yes. Yes, that's a specialty.
You could have a nurse, RN, specializing in that?
Yes.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking strictly the nurse practitioners, but it's open to a wide variety. Sounds like it would be hard to make the wrong decision.
That's true. That's true.
Whatever you do, there is a job for you.
Yes.
Are the salaries pretty exciting? Or?
I don't have all the figures on the salaries. I don't keep up with that. But yes, I would imagine that, a beginning nurse probably would start out about $25 an hour. Don't quote me on that because I don't have those numbers down.
And I guess it varies with the parts of the country,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and of course the nurse practitioner will make quite a bit more. So
is the nurse practitioner just a notch below a doctor?
I'm not sure they would appreciate that, but there's been a lot of controversy, yes, because...
I mean, they're able to prescribe medicine, aren't they?
Under a doctor's auspice, so yes, and depending on what the prescription is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But at the drugstores, there's no doctor there, but I guess there's a doctor who hangs their license somewhere.
Yeah, that sort of oversee and lead them.
And so all of these programs are available at Middle Tennessee State University.
Yes.
For someone who is just out of high school looking at these great opportunities.
Right.
It's almost like a kid in a candy shop. How do you choose? How do you find out which one is you?
What's really interesting is as we expose them to the various areas of nursing as they move through nursing school. So when they're in the experience, they have the opportunity to see if that's an area that they like. And a lot of times when they finish nursing school, they'll have a good idea of where they want to go.
Mm-hmm. I think people don't realize what the MTSU School of Nursing does in the community. I mean, in addition to just teaching students how to be nurses and nurse practitioners, every facet of that. You have a community outreach, too. You're very involved in the community.
Yes.
Share a little of that.
That's part of nursing is public service, and service learning is what we teach the students. A lot of things, right now we're doing flu shots at Nissan, and they're all free, and blood pressure clinics we do, you know, all over the city, and in particular at the School of Nursing, we offer blood pressure clinics. We're present at health fairs. All of our classes are what we call experiential learning. So they're going to go out into the community and work so that they can learn. So you'll see them at hospitals, at doctor's offices, and, you know, just the clinical experience is all giving back to the community.
You could go back, I guess, a couple of decades when a lot of the alumni from MTSU were in school. And at that time, when you would be in the classes, the things that you learned on the equipment, say in the area of nursing or whatever area that you were studying, was not quite as good as the real world, so to speak. That has changed, I understand.
Yes. I mean, I'm so glad you asked me, because we just received, well, it's been over the past couple years, getting a grant where from a HRSA grant, and that's a human resource, that's a government grant, and the Christy Houston Foundation and MTSU have given us money to create three new labs. We now have a new pediatric lab. We have an OB lab. In the pediatric lab, of course, we have a baby bed and a medium fidelity baby and a child. And then in the OB lab, we actually have a mannequin that delivers a baby.
This is high tech.
Oh, yes. And speaking of high tech, I should also say we upgraded all our labs. We got new exam tables, new curtains, new equipment. We actually got a Pyxis station, which dispenses drugs. But probably the most exciting thing for me, and I'm in charge of this, so you bear with me, is what we call a high-fidelity simulation lab. And what that is it's actually it's set up to look exactly like a hospital room. There's two beds, and we have two mannequins in the beds. These mannequins actually breathe and talk, and everything they do is recorded on software. And there's audio and video equipment in there, and we have a control room that the instructors sit in. The student actually has to go in and think on their own. They have to critically think and solve problems in a scenario-based environment. This exposes them to the environment before they actually go into a hospital. So they can actually hurt or kill a patient and not hurt anything. So it's a safe environment for them to learn.
Now, the person who's interacting with them, is that a professor or is that a computer?
The professor is behind a glass.
Oh, okay.
They can't see us. So we control the mannequin through software. And everything they do is recorded. So, for example, a student will walk in and we'll have like Kleenex all over the floor. We'll have the patient laying flat, and we'll have the pulse oximeter start alarming. And the student has to think on her feet or his feet what they should do next. So the first thing is check equipment. The second thing would be to raise the head of the bed. The third thing would be to apply oxygen. So they have to think on their feet. And sometimes they may do all those things in different order. So it's interesting to see them think on their feet. After they finish the scenario, they go to a debriefing room, and they look at the video, and we ask them to write what we did right, what we did wrong, what we could do better. And then from that, when we walk in after about 15 minutes, they've already learned everything on their own. It's incredible.
When you talk about split-second decisions, they have to do that. I mean, it's a matter of life or death.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I described was a very low-level simulation, but we do have higher-level scenarios that we present to them.
Now, what about paramedics? Do they have courses in this program, or is that a whole other area?
No, they do not, not in our program.
Okay, I didn't know whether that was something that offered a level similar to nursing. Do nurses ride on ambulances?
It depends on the, in pediatrics they do a lot of times. It depends on the training of the nurse. There's Life Flight, of course, nurses, and And I do want to say paramedics do make use of the simulation labs in, across the country. A lot of times they partner with nursing schools.
For people who want to learn more about the career of nursing, what's available? And I would guess maybe parents probably might be more interested in that for their kids. Mm-hmm. Youngsters, I guess, don't know when they're in high school. I want to be this or I want to be that. Parents might be aware that there are a lot of jobs, which is always that gets a parent's attention these days. A lot of jobs available in the area of nursing, good pay, and certainly even bigger opportunities if you get into the area of gerontology. How can they learn more about what's available at MTSU?
Of course, going to our website, the mtsu.edu website, and then go to the look for the nursing school, and and then connect there, and you can find a lot of information about, there's detailed information about all the programs.
Sounds like some exciting times ahead. Thanks again to Middle Tennessee State University, preparing our young people here in the community to have a bright future. Debbie Sullivan visiting with us this morning. She's assistant professor of the MTSU School of Nursing. Some big things happening there. Debbie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
You have a super day. Oh, big things happening on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza this morning, and I want to remind you about that. 10:30 this morning. 10:30, that's when I think the reception begins. And then 11:30, there's going to be a special program dealing with our city's bicentennial. That's at 11:30 on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. Right there in front of City Hall, the Line Ball Library. You know where that is. Hopefully you'll be there in person. It's a milestone. 200 years. Wow. We'll be broadcasting that live.
GNS Talk Radio, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450 and TV 11. The Good Neighbor Network is on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
WeatherEye.
Sunny skies across the forecast area. A high of 82 with a north-northwest wind around 5. Partly cloudy skies for tonight. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Currently 59.
Maybe you need a new mattress. You can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The Good Neighbor Network is on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11, and WGNSradio.com. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com. Welcome back. We're focusing on Middle Tennessee State University. And in this segment, we're visiting with MTSU Police Chief Buddy Peaster and the Director of News and Media Relations, Tom Tozer. Welcome to both of you.
Yes, thank you, Bart.
Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
Well, MTSU always seems to be on the cutting edge. We've talked about the nursing program, the Holocaust program that's about to start Wednesday, but also on the cutting edge, keeping the students safe, and that's Buddy's job. And you're doing this, the weather here has rapidly gotten worse. It seems like we're getting more tornadoes and severe storms than before. And Buddy, you all have linked up with AccuWeather. Tell us what that marriage, so to speak, is enabling the university to do.
Well, you mentioned that we certainly feel like we're going to have bad weather at some point going forward, different types of bad weather. And one of the challenges that we have is preparing our community for the impact of tornadoes. As a general community in Rutherford County, we know we've had several incidences over the last several years where we've had a certain amount of destruction and devastation because of that. And we know that that can happen at MTSU and the surrounding areas around the campus, just like it can anywhere else. And so what we have done is we have worked with this private company, AccuWeather, to make our tornado warnings more relevant to the people who can hear our tornado sirens and that are part of our community.
Now, how far out can people hear these tornado sirens?
Well, first of all, let me just say we have five tornado sirens that are on campus proper, on the MTSU campus. We have one tornado siren that's located out at the Tennessee Miller Coliseum off North Thompson Lane. And so we have two separate areas. And to really, it depends. It's kind of I'm not trying to evade the question, but in reality, weather conditions make a real difference. The topography, the geography, they all go into how far those tornado siren warnings can be heard. And it can be different times of the day, depending on, you know, the different weather conditions, temperatures, there's the wind, how good it is, what direction it's blowing before we, you know, get a really bad tornado that might move through the area. It all goes into that factor, and so it really kind of depends. But we feel like that certainly within a half mile to a mile around our areas, we know that the neighbors can hear us when we turn those sirens on. And so we do recognize that we also have a duty to provide them with a certain amount of protection because they can hear those siren towers. And so going forward with this project, we've wanted to make sure that not only our immediate community, the campus community, but the folks around could also benefit from what we're moving forward with AccuWeather.
Now, when you have the siren go off, we've all heard the warbling siren sound, but is there something that goes along with that? Do you have a voice message or something that tells people what's happening?
Well, for tornado warnings, right now we are just using the sound that people have come to associate with a tornado warning sound. But we are moving forward with the capability of using pre-recorded messages and even picking up a microphone and speaking over those siren towers. So they have the capability of speech just like they have the capability of emitting tones. And so going forward, we certainly will probably incorporate that into a number of warnings and possibly even including the tornado warnings themselves.
And for people who are trying to think warnings, watches, warnings means it's in the area. Take shelter.
Right, yeah.
So when you hear them, it's, you know, take shelter.
Absolutely. The watch means that conditions could be right for one, but a warning means that you have to take action, just as you said. And so what we recommend to people is that they think ahead of time, and on campus that means looking to see where we've identified a safer location on campus. But if you're not on campus, is to do that for yourself, is to look and see where might be a safer place in your home or your business or somewhere that you could go in case there is a tornado warning that's issued.
Tom, this, of course, is really a service to the community, bringing, as we've said many times, how the university is bringing the town and gown together. This is doing it in a big way, the safety of all of us.
It certainly is. I think that the AccuWeather will notify us when there is severe weather, tornado activity, weather within 20 minutes of the campus geography. So you know, those folks in surrounding streets and the neighborhoods who hear the tornado alert siren going off will know that it's fairly imminent, that they really, you know, for those who hear the siren, it's good for them as well, because they'll know that kind of severe activity could be imminent for our geography. And we're pleased that we can do that, and it does depend on the weather and the way the wind is blowing as to how many people can hear the siren and hear the articulated message. But we tested the message Saturday. We actually got on the microphone and read live some announcements.
What time was that?
That was about 10 o'clock. It was actually during the half marathon. We let the folks know that. Did you hear that?
I was doing the PA work there, and we kept announcing, beware that this is a test. None of us heard it. I've had a lot of people say to me later, I never heard that. And I said, well, I didn't either, but we talked about it.
That is one of the challenges. We had police officers stationed at various areas of campus. We had somebody out of Tennessee Miller. And it really does depend on if you're on one side of a building or another, or you're in between buildings. In some areas, people heard the announcement very clearly. In other mm-hmm. areas, they hardly heard it. So that's one of the things that we are working with. We're going to have to repeat the announcement, do it very slowly, and articulate our words, and hopefully most folks will hear it, and those who don't, hopefully they'll take their cues from others who have heard it.
Well, it was interesting because we kept waiting to hear something. I was purposefully listening, and I thought, well, I wonder what time that's going to be. And we went all through the morning warning people, and we were right there on the campus at the track and field area.
Well, yeah.
Didn't even hear the first sound of one. There so was, I thought, well, maybe they put it off.
There was going to be a very loud couple of blasts
uh-huh.
and the siren, and we decided just to do the voice articulated message, partly because of there was an event going on at the Miller Coliseum, and there was some concern about whether the horses would respond well to those loud blasts. So we thought, okay, we're going to go, we'll compromise here and do the articulated message, but we didn't sound the very loud blasts that will probably get everybody's attention if they're outside.
Okay, well, everybody was ready, but we didn't hear it. So, and again, that goes back to what Buddy said. You never know. It depends on the weather. And in this case, I guess there was a lot of loud music playing in the area and things of that sort, which would sort of cover it up a bit.
And I think one thing that's important to understand, and once we began getting into this whole emergency notification system, we realized is that the noise or the tone that's emitted from these sirens is different than articulated speech. And so we've had people who cannot necessarily hear an announcement go over the PA part, but mm-hmm. that can hear the tone, because the tone works as water rushing, kind of filling in gaps. So over a period of several seconds, even a minute, that sound will sort of envelop everything. So actually, many people can hear the warning, may not can hear the articulated speech.
So be listening, and when you hear that, it's a warning, and that means take cover now. Special thank you to Tom Tozer and Buddy Pister for joining us this morning, telling us about another one of the areas of improvement at MTSU.
Mm, thank you, Bart.
Thank you. Don't forget the Bicentennial kicks off on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza at 11:30 this morning. 11:30. You need to be there. I don't think